and no siu yok as well this year. And we can't even stay back after service to have fun and to celebrate. 8 years of his faithfulness, 8 years of his love, his grace, and his mercy. And I wonder how many of you were here since the first day of our inauguration on November 23rd, 2013. Let me see a show of hands. Wow, so you have a number of you here when we had the inauguration service on November 23rd, 2013. My sermon title for the inauguration was, this is a test for those of you who just raised a hand. Anyone remember? If you really remember, I'm going to give you a big treat, very big treat. Anyone? No one? The title, Behold Another Miracle. October 1st, 2006, at our grand opening of our mother church at Bukit Bintang, my message was, Behold a Miracle. And if you remember, I said the building was a miracle. The building of the main church in Bukit Bintang. It took us 7 years and 3 months to get the building approval to construct. And added to that, renting Berjaya Times Square for our Sunday services during the construction of the building at $1,750 a week was a miracle. And to be able to raise all the money for the building was also a miracle. Many people were doubtful whether we can really raise $10 million. And someone actually commented that if Pastor John were to be able to raise even $5 million, it already would be a miracle. And then another member said, it's mission impossible. And I also know of one family who left our church because they were not agreeable with the 10 million building project, and then this family declared that this project would fail, it would be abandoned. Yes, I agree that if Pastor John was behind it all, but no, God was behind it all. And that was why I entitled that sermon for our grand opening for Cal Baptist Church, Behold a Miracle. And then more than 7 years later, we completed this new building in Desert Park City. And at the grand opening, I entitled the sermon, Behold Another Miracle. Now, brothers and sisters and friends, if you do not believe in miracles, you just have to open your eyes wide to see miracles that are happening everywhere around us. Let me just quote a few. The result of the 2018 general election, GE14, in Malaysia were a miracle. And who would have expected the ruling party, Barisan Nasional BN, to be ousted from power after over six decades of authoritarian rule to be overtaken by a new opposition party, the Pakatan Harapan PH. And sadly, it did not last long due to the Sheraton move. And also to have this 92-year-old Prime Minister in Malaysia after GE14 was really, really a miracle. And this would be even a greater miracle if he becomes the Prime Minister after GE15 at the age of 97 next year. And if our country ever elect a Chinese to be the Prime Minister or even a woman to be Prime Minister, we know that it is a miracle. But miracles are happening everywhere. Everywhere around us, and even in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, many miracles were mentioned. And I'm sure that you know a number of these miracles written in the Bible. The parting of the Red Sea given to us in Exodus chapter 14, where the water divided, leaving dry land for the Israelites to cross over. The miracle in the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6, where Daniel was thrown into the lion's den and came out unharmed. The miracle of the virgin birth in the New Testament, the miracles of the feeding of the 5,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the miracles of walking on the water and not on ice, as some people claim. And today, at our 8th anniversary here in Desert Park City, I want to remember the days of old to reminisce the miracle of building this church. Many of you may have forgotten what we went through. And today, as we look at this beautiful building, we're looking at it as a demonstration of God's power, a revelation of His glory, not ours, not the building committee, not Pastor John. You see, it was a miracle that we were given this religious ground here, designated religious ground. And people told me, Pastor John, Cal Baptist Church must be really, really loaded to be able to buy a piece of land here inside Desert Park City. No, we did not pay a single cent, not even a single cent to have this land. And then another pastor whom I do not know called me up and asked me to give up this piece of land to his church. No, he must be kidding. Okay, to ask me for that. And of course, I totally disagree with him because he said that you already have a big piece of land in Phuket Bintang. Why do you need another? If I get a third one, I still won't give it to him. It was a miracle. We again managed to raise the money, $8.2 million, to complete this building. It's no joke. After raising $10 million for Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church building at Phuket Bintang, we had to raise another $2.7 million for our daughter church in Cheras, and then another $8.2 million for this church, all within 10 years. $21 million in 10 years. And the wonderful news is that we did not borrow any money from the bank. Many people have made this possible. Many of you here, through your giving and contribution, have made it possible. Many of the items were donated. I mentioned this in the inauguration service. All the beds, the mattresses, side table, cupboard, dining tables and chair, mattress, protector, pillow for the senior resident. All the electrical goods, the fridges, the washing machine, the TV sets, all the office tables and chairs, photo step machine, wall clocks, all the Orient brand in the church here, hand dryers, all the musical instruments, the drum, the piano, the bass guitar, the electric guitar, the acoustic guitar, the grand piano, all the computers, projectors and painting, and all the chairs that you're sitting, all were donated by people in our church and outside our church. I hope you still remember. I shared that during our Thanksgiving service. And the most amazing miracle was what happened during my 50th birthday, come 30 years in full-time ministry celebration at Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church in 2012. My wife and I decided to hold a celebration to raise money for this church. And we have 30 tables for 300 guests, and only a few people, I think less than 10 people, knew that we wanted to raise money for Desert Park City. We decided to give all the ang paos to receive to the church. And we were hoping, and we were actually praying to be able to raise 30,000 for the church. But after the dinner was over, we went home to count the ang pao, and we counted the most until the 2 a.m. in the morning, and we were both stunned as the total amount received was 499,470. Can you believe it? How could it be possible? The answer is God. God. Because He knew that we pledged all the money received for His building, and He knew that this church, our church, needed the money, and every dollar and cent were given to the church, all $499,470. How I wish I could have 50 birthday celebration every year. Do you remember? Most probably you might not, but I do. Because just last month, I was clearing my files in the office and I found a list of all the donors who contributed, who gave me ang pao for my 50th birthday. And on top of that, the thrift shop ladies helped to raise more than $400,000 through their sales and fundraising. The amount for Desert Park City Toyota Hi-H van, okay, is still down there, still in good condition, was fully raised by the thrift shop ladies. No, brothers and sisters, with God, all things are possible if it is in His will. And that's why I entitled my sermon for the inauguration of this church here, "Behold, this is another miracle." I hope you still remember. I hope you still remember the days of old, how some of us were fearful as to whether we could really raise this $8.2 million. And we did not have much money left after raising $10 million for KLBC building in Phuket Bintang, and also another $2.7 million for our daughter church in Cheras. And to be honest with you, I was very fearful too. I was fearful, and I told the board that we should stand by bridging loan from the bank for $4 million. But they rejected my proposal, and I guess they must have greater faith than me. And so with fear and trembling and faith, we trusted God, we truly prayed, and depended on Him. And my prayer now is that we do not forget what the psalmist says here. Psalms 143 verse 5, which says, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. 8 years of His faithfulness, 8 years of His love, His grace, and His mercy. Do not forget that. Another 10 years from now, 15 years from now, maybe 20 years from now, even 30 years from now, and maybe some of us may not be around anymore. And I hope that what we have went through as we trusted God to build this church will remain in the hearts of our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Let us listen to the advice of Moses given to us in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Only be careful and watch yourself closely so that you do not forget the things that your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to the children after them. And Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19 says, teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. May I paraphrase this? Teach them to your children, talking about how God has miraculously provided for us to build the church in Desert Park City, when we sit at home and when we walk along the road, when we lie down and when we get up. Behold, this building is another miracle. God make it possible as a demonstration of His power and to reveal His glory, that we do not forget. We do not forget the things our eyes have seen, and or let them slip from our hearts as long as we live. Now, being a father myself, I know that most parents would teach their children good manners. And I hope you do too. You teach your children to say good morning to uncle, auntie, to somebody, and you teach them to say thank you. And we would teach them to behave themselves in school, in public places, and not be rude. And we would teach them to work hard, and that money does not fall down from the sky, and that their parents work hard to provide for them. And we would teach them to be obedient. We teach them to respect the elderly. We would teach them to be honest, to be humble, forgiving, and loving. Am I correct? Is there any more things that you want me to add? I hope that none of you parents here would teach your children the opposite: to steal, to lie, to cheat, to kill, to lose your temper, to disobey. Now honestly, tell me this. Do you teach your children about spiritual matters? Do you teach your children about God? Do you teach your children about tithing, about baptism, about reading the Bible, obeying God's teaching, about not being unequally yoked with unbelievers, about being good witness for God, about depending and trusting in God, about faith in God, about prayer, about God's goodness? If you have listened to my online sermon last week, you would have heard my testimony, how Grace and I raised up our family. I don't claim to be a perfect father, and I don't claim to have a perfect family. I married Grace on March 11, 1989. Okay, I hope I'm right. Definitely I'm right. My wife is there, so she can confirm that. I asked for a Christian wife. That was my one and only condition for my life partner, because I wanted to honor the Lord. And the Lord has blessed us. The Lord has blessed us blessed me with a good wife and three children, Elvin, Calvin, and Sue Ann. And we brought them up since the day they were born in a godly manner. All three of them are believers and were baptized in Kuala Lumpur Baptist Church. I baptized them all personally myself in the church. We taught them to love God and to obey God. We taught them to tithe. You know, Sue Ann just started her work last month, and without us reminding her, she gave her first tithe for October. We teach them and taught them not to be unequally yoked. And Calvin is married to Rachel, is a believer and member of our church. And Sue Ann's boyfriend too is a believer, and prayerfully will be our member too. And Alvin Clark, his future spouse, will have to be a believer too as well. But just to let you know, he's still available, looking around. We taught them to honor the Lord always. And even now, at 10 months old, we are teaching our granddaughter, JC, to pray. And she's learning how to pray before her meal, to give thanks for her milk, for her durian. Huh? She loves durian. You want to give me durian? I will share it with her. And when we feed her durian, she will give us a big cheeky smile. No, and now as a family, we pray together every night. Every night without fail, God is and always will be number one in our family. And we can say together the word of Joshua in Joshua chapter 24 verse 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether gods of your forefathers serve beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, are you raising your family in the fear and discipline of the Lord? With God as the supreme head of the family where the Bible is taught and practiced. And most importantly, about the things your eyes have seen, what God has done, like what the psalmist declared. You know, I just did my eye cataract, that's why I'm not wearing glasses, okay? I can see far, I can see very good vision. Those of you who are seated down here, I can see those people who are now sleeping. Previously, I can't see far, I can't see you sleeping, but now nobody can sleep through my sermon. But the sad thing is, I can't see near. That's why I have to depend on the TV, bold letter, Bible verse there for me to read my text here. You know, what our eyes have seen is so important. I did my cataract for both eyes. It's so important what my eyes can see and what your eyes have seen. What God has done, like what the psalmist declared. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. How many of you are doing that? You don't have to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass any one of you. And as we celebrate our 8th anniversary today, let us remember the days of long ago and meditate on His work and consider what His wonderful hands have done for us, for our family, and especially for our church here in Desa Park City. It has been more than 20 months since life had changed due to the pandemic happening, affecting the whole world. And last year, as you know, toilet paper was a big hot commodity in Singapore and Australia where they fight for toilet tissue. Face masks, hand sanitizer were the new goal. MCO, CMCO, IMCO, EMCO were the most confusing movement control order. And stay home, stay safe, WFO, work from home were the most popular words. And since then, wearing face masks and using hand sanitizer, washing your hands frequently and staying away from the crowd have been the new norm. And you know the threat of the virus is still serious even though you have been fully vaccinated, because it requires you to enter shopping malls, to restaurants, and even enter the church worship service. And we know that the virus is still deadly even though more than 90% of the population is fully vaccinated. Does the vaccine work? And we are now talking about booster, a mass effective. Will this be forever? It gets down the road. 15 years, maybe 30 years if we live that long. Are you able to tell your children and your grandchildren what you went through, the danger, the fear, and how you survived the pandemic? But I hope that when you remember the days of long ago, you will also tell your children and grandchildren what God has done during this pandemic. So much has happened during these last 365 days. In the midst of the ups and the down, God has remained faithful by our side through it all. And during this pandemic, God has been working miracles as our church reach out to help the needy, the poor, and those badly affected by the pandemic. We have given out 150 lunch boxes on weekdays from Monday to Friday for 4 months. Cash assistance to those who could not pay their school fees, to those who could not pay the rent, and even to those who could not pay the hospital charges when they gave birth. And we have given out many thousands of bags of groceries to the poor and needy. We raised $42,000 to buy Christmas gifts to give to the orphanages. And we sent $87,000 to buy PPE kits and groceries to Tamil Nadu, Hyderabad, and Nagaland. And we even offered to give $5,000 to all the smaller Baptist churches in the country, including Sabah and Sarawak, to kickstart their food bank to help the respective community. And a total of 19 Baptist churches all over the country applied for cash assistance from our church. Our church also set aside $100,000 to give out to the Christian NGOs to help them through this financial crisis they were facing. And then just last month, we used our church premise as a vaccination center in the main church. We worked together with the Malaysian Red Crescent Society and the United Nations HCR to vaccinate 300 pre-registered Myanmarese and Nepalese workers living in the vicinity of our church. And I was told that our church was the first church to open up to help these people get vaccinated. See, God was busy with us. He was busy with us, and it's always good for us to look back, in life and consider what God has done for us during this pandemic. I know it's easy to forget the wonderful work God has done for us, but let us not forget. Let us not forget, but continue to remember the great things God has done for us 8 years ago. Church, that's a part city, church members here, look back 8 years ago today. And what do we see? Do we see progress? Do we see regression? Or maybe we see stagnation? But whatever it is, there is room for God to work, because God is always there and God's grace is available to those who seek it. I know that the pandemic has affected most everyone in last year and this year, with lingering result for years to come, but God's grace is more powerful than the virus. And I want to say this to you as I end, if God took care of us before the pandemic struck, please know that He has not changed. And although everything is changing at a rapid speed, God does not change, because He is the same faithful God before this outbreak, and He remained faithful to the end. And this is a truth to remember. And this is a truth about the things my eyes and your eyes have seen God do in the past and continue to do even right now. God is in charge, not COVID-19. God still remains faithful. So let us remember that forever when we remember the days of old. Let us pray. Father, we thank You because You are a faithful God. We know that You have took good care of us before the pandemic struck. And we know that You have not changed, because You remain the same faithful God before the outbreak, and You remain faithful and faithful to the end. You have blessed us much. You have given us much. And so, Father, we pray that You help us, that as we remember the days of old, the last 8 years, how You have led us, guided us, what our eyes have seen, what You have done, Your wonderful hands have done for our church, for each and every one of the members. We give thanks, because You are a God who is worthy, most worthy of praise, and that we can worship and glorify. We pray for all of us here, especially for the elderly, for the parents, to be able to teach their children and their grandchildren and great-grandchildren to come, that they will in turn remember what You have done for us this past 8 years and many more years to come. thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.